thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
Okay, the Lord's Prayer, we have been revisiting it for the last 3 weeks. It's something from time to time we go back and look at, because I've found myself that it's meant more to me recently than it ever meant to me before. Even because of this week and me putting the final touches on this message that we're going to talk about today, something has happened to me in my prayer life, my understanding a little bit more of God's ways, and it has been really, really helpful. So this is a model prayer. When the disciples said, after recognizing that Jesus had a life of prayer, he would pull away and he would pray to the Father. And it seemed that every time he came back, he was stronger. And so they noticed this and they said to him one day, Lord, teach us how to pray. So he said, in this manner you should pray, or pray like this. Now, I don't believe that Jesus minces with words. I think every word that is in the Word of God has some kind of meaning, significance. So I think when Jesus, that was very thoughtful when he said, pray this way, and he lays out for us something that is easy to follow, but I don't think we fully understand it totally. And that's what this series been about. Today we're going to focus in on lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. I have to be honest with you, this was the most confusing part of this prayer for me. Even to up in these last 4 weeks or so when I began to focus in on it. I was a little bit puzzled by it. So much so that I talked to my wife. I said, Cheryl, what does this verse mean to you? And then others that I ran into because it was on my mind. Lead us not into temptation. God doesn't tempt us. So I found in the 14 words that make up that little part of this prayer, Jesus challenges us in everything that we might think and know about God. So the title of this particular message is Trials, Test, and Temptations. We're all familiar with each one of them. Trials, tests, and temptation. My first thoughts as I got into this is that this text is in conflict with all the other verses that I know about temptation in the scripture. Conflict. And I had to ask the question, what is temptation? Think about it for a moment. I'm sure there are several different definitions you could put to it. But temptation, when it says, lead us not into temptation, we know temptation is directly related to sin. And we know that all sin begins with temptation. And I put several question marks on my note. Why do I need to ask God not to lead me into temptation that will result in a sin which causes my life to be displeasing to him? There's a conflict. Because James chapter 1 and verse 13, look at these words together. It says, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot, say cannot, be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. God does not tempt you. He may test you, but he doesn't tempt you. Now, here's the difference between a tempt and a test. A temptation will show you your weaknesses. When you are tempted, it points out vulnerable parts in your life. So temptation comes to play on that. That's what the enemy does. He plays on a weakness, so it points out a weakness. Whereas a test is meant to show your strengths. You go through a test so that your faith is exposed for what it is. So it's really to show your strength in the midst of a test. God will not and cannot tempt you. That's the job of the devil. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, it says it this way, be sober, be vigilant, in other words, be alert, because your adversary, it makes it clear who it is, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So he's on the prowl. He's consistently and constantly somewhere around us to tempt us, to devour us if he could. Now, if it is impossible, and I'm going to reason with you for the first parts of this message, so that's where I need your attention. If it is impossible for God to tempt me, why do I pray, lead us not into temptation? What are we really asking God to do? When I say, lead me not into temptation to deliver me from evil, I put three questions down here. Am I asking God to create a life for me without temptation? Am I praying that I'm never in a place where I can compromise my convictions? Am I asking and praying that I never experience any evil in my life? Now, the reason this cannot be what it means is this. That prayer will never be answered. That kind of prayer will never be answered. Look at John chapter 16 and verse 33. Jesus is praying to his Father out of the Amplified. In this world you have tribulation, trials, distress, and frustration. In this world. So if in this world we have those things, then for me to pray that they not be part of my life is a prayer that won't be answered. God answers to lead us not into temptation and to deliver us from evil is not to shield and shelter you from everything that tempts you. The Bible says God doesn't create temptation, but he allows it. You remember Jesus? Jesus, when he was filled with the Spirit, baptized by John at the River Jordan, he goes out into his ministry. The first thing that's happened, he's led into the wilderness being tempted of the devil, the Son of God, Jesus, second person of the Trinity, is led into the wilderness where God allows him to be tempted. Luke chapter 22 and verse 31, when Jesus was talking to Peter at the end of his life, he's saying, Peter, I want to tell you something. Satan came to me, and he asked for you. He asked for you. He would like to sift you like wheat. But here's what Jesus said. But I prayed that your faith should not fail. Notice what is said there. He didn't pray that he would be delivered from Satan coming to him and trying to sift him like wheat. He said, no, when he does come and when he tries to do this to you, I am praying that your faith doesn't fail. So God doesn't tempt us, but he allows temptation. In John chapter 17 and verse 15, look at this verse. He said, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should what? Keep them from the evil one. So we can't pray, lead us not into temptation, and think it means deliver us from any influence of evil in our life. Remove us, shelter us, shield us from any testings or trials or temptation or the evil one himself. It's not going to be that way. Temptation and evil are part of life. They're unavoidable. I don't know if you've seen this bumper sticker, but I have in the past and I write them down when I see them. It said, lead us not into temptation. I can find it all by myself. So, if it is impossible for God to lead me into temptation, why do I pray, lead us not into temptation? If it is impossible to live a life that is void of evil and temptation, what is Jesus talking about? Here's what I believe he's saying. And here's what I believe the disciples are hearing. I believe that this prayer is something like this. Lead us not into the tribulation that breaks our faith. Lead us not into persecution that causes us to give up on God. God, when we pray this prayer, which should be daily, God, don't let me go through a situation that's greater than my ability to endure. God, don't put me in a storm I can't survive. Lord, this day I'm going to face some things, but Lord, don't lead me into a storm I'm not going to be able to survive. Lord, don't give me a test that my faith cannot live through. Don't put more on me than I can bear. Now, that's the kind of prayer we should pray. We're not asking God to keep me from temptation. I'm asking God to keep me in my temptation. Keep me in my trial, Lord. Lord, it's inevitable that I'm going to be challenged today. Lord, keep my mind right. Because I know, Lord, when I'm under stress, when I'm under pressure, when I feel the storm all around me, my mind goes a little bit wild. I begin to think about things. I begin to react to things that I shouldn't. So, Lord, in the midst of it, Lord, what I'm praying for is, Lord, keep my mind right. Keep my faith strong, Lord. I don't want to waver. I don't want to be like the sea. Just because everything is going well and my faith is high and I'm giving you glory, Lord, I don't want in the temptation or storm, I don't want my faith to waver. I don't want it to be tossed around. I want it to be as strong in the storm as it is outside the storm. I want my witness to stay alive. I don't want, because something's happening to me, something's going wrong in my life, that I'm downcast and around and I'm moaning and groaning and complaining and murmuring. My witness, Lord, fades. So, Lord, let that not happen. Keep my worship vibrant. Keep my praise flowing. Lord, let me praise you the same in the storm as I would outside the storm. That's what I'm praying for. And how many know that's why we should pray every day? Every day. Lead us not into temptation. Don't put us in a situation. Don't allow it to happen, God. Keep me in my storm. God is a keeper. I believe that. He keeps us. I don't mean, and this might go against some of your theology, but I've learned that through life's experience, I learned more about theology than I did about the books I read 30 years ago. I don't mean he'll keep me from pain, but he'll keep me in my pain. I don't mean that he'll keep me from sickness. Although I pray for health, I don't mean that that's always going to be that way, but I pray that he keeps me in my sickness. I pray, Lord, you'll keep me in my trials. I'm not going to avoid trials, God. I know I'm not some super Christian hero going around with a big C on my chest. Lord, I know I'm going to face trials. Keep me in my trials. I know that there are some in this place right now that understand what I'm saying. The Lord has kept you. And for that reason, you're here today. And if you would just take a moment, go back and trace some of that journey with God and some of those tremendous challenges and trials and tests and temptation that have come your way, God was a keeper. He kept you in them. And you're here today, and you're probably better off because of it. When I pray, Lord, lead us not into temptation, I'm just saying, Lord, I know that whatever I go through, you can control the severity of it. Did you get that? Lord, control the severity of it. Don't allow it to be overwhelming to the point where I fail you. Because, Lord, that's not my heart desire. I want to be strong. And, Lord, I want my eyes on you. The prayer, then, is not just a request. I'm seeing it more like a declaration. It is to me now declaring that no matter what my trials are, no matter what my test is, no matter what my temptation is, God is still in control. If you don't get anything else from this message, I pray you'll get it. It doesn't matter what happens in life. God doesn't lose control of your life. If you've given your heart over, if you submitted yourself to Him, He does not lose control. Matter of fact, He is in control. He knows how much you can bear. He knows how much you can take. And He's not going to give you more than what you can bear. It doesn't matter how bad it seems. It doesn't matter how long it seems to be lasting. It doesn't matter what others are saying. It does not change the fact that God is in control. Family dynamics are amusing sometimes. I come from a family fairly large, not as large as some of our families in the church, but six, oldest of six. And what I notice in my family, and now I notice in my grandchildren and other families, is that when you have an older child, if there's two or more in the family, if you have an older child and a younger child separated by 2 or 3 years, sooner or later you're going to see that the older child tries to boss around the younger child. And then everybody turns, I know exactly what he's saying. But one day, the younger child wakes up, and he turns to that older child and says, "You don't control me. You're not the boss of me." How many know what I'm talking about? Every now and then, you're going to find yourself in an overwhelming situation. You found yourself just like you're at the wit's end. You know what you need to do? You need to turn and look straight into that storm and say, "You're not in control of me. You're not the boss of me. God is my boss. He is in control of my life. My storm doesn't control me. My tests, they don't control me. They better me. They improve me, but they don't control me to manipulate me into doing something against God. My financial situation is not going to control me. That unresolved conflict is not going to control me and drive me almost crazy. Or my unfair boss that I blame all my financial difficulties on, they don't control you. God is in control. When I say, lead us not into temptation, I'm declaring every day, Lord, lead us not. I'm declaring that God is in control, and because of that, I know. And here's what I know. The Lord will not allow me to experience what I can't endure. I know that He won't take me through something that I can't survive. I know that He won't put a burden on me that I can't lift. I know that whatever is in my life, I can handle it because God is in control of it. The Lord won't allow it to be more than I can deal with. It's a great verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13 became a memory verse of mine, and I can't tell you how many times I've said it to myself. No, say no. No temptation is overtaken except such as what? Common. One good thing to know that when you're being tempted, there are others being tempted too. We're all facing the same thing. Common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted what? Beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Just when you think you can't bear it any longer, just when you think it gets to the point where you're ready to make a bad decision, you need to look for that way of escape because it's there. It's right there. It's right there. And if we'll just listen for it, God will tell you. And then you got to respond to it. Let's talk about one more thing. The word lead. Say lead. Lead me not into temptation or a situation I cannot bear. If He's leading me. Big if. Right? Think about what I'm saying. If He's leading me. Here's the truth. I confess. I confess that I'm not always God-guided. Now, you might say, uh-oh, you blew it, Pastor. I respected you up till then. There are some decisions I've made where I can honestly say I wasn't led of God. And I paid a price. There were consequences. Some of the consequences were greater than others, depending on the decision I've made on my own. But I haven't always been led of the Lord. And I find when I'm not led of the Lord, it's usually because I'm not patient enough. It's like I want the answer now. And when I don't get it, I begin to find ways and means in which I can take it. And then, as a result of it, I'm not being led because God's trying to take me one way, and I want to go another way, and then all of a sudden, I can't bear it. I can't bear it. When I'm living on my own terms, and I'm not guided by God, oftentimes I find myself in situations that I would not have been in if the Lord was leading me. I think I speak for most of us, if not all of us. I've shed some tears that I didn't have to shed. You had some pain that you shouldn't have had. There were some people in your life that would not have been there if you trusted the Lord and waited on Him. There are things you have endured you wouldn't have had if you had trusted the leading of God. Now here's the grace of God. The rest of this verse reveals the grace of God. Deliver us from the evil one. Even when I find myself in something that is over my head, because I did something on my own, I can pray this: deliver us from the evil one. Lord, I got myself in trouble. So I pray daily. Lord, I know I got here and I don't know what to do. I made a wrong decision. Lord, I really did. My eyes went somewhere I shouldn't have. Lord, I just did something. I reacted the wrong way. An impulse. I got angry. Whatever it might have been, I crossed that line and I went somewhere where God wasn't leading me. But God's grace is, Lord, deliver me. And deliver me from what? The evil one. Deliver me from the evil one, because like a roaring lion, he moves about, stalking me and waiting for an opportune moment to come in. And when he comes in and I find myself in that place where God hasn't led me, then he begins to take advantage of me. And it's like a grip that he tries to put back on my life. And I find myself then in turmoil and I find myself weaker because that grip's on my life. Deliver me from the evil one means deliver me, God, from the power of Satan. Deliver me from his authority. I don't want to live under that authority. Forgive me, Lord. Deliver me. And guess what? He delivers. My first deliverance came when I was saved. He found me. By his grace, he found me. He revealed himself to me, and he showed me that he's a deliverer. He showed me no matter how deep I was in my situation, no matter how far I had gone. And it doesn't matter even today, if you've made a mistake and fell back into some addiction or some sin in your life, it's never too late because God's grace is there when you cry out, deliver me, God, from the evil one. And he will deliver you. It's a prayer of salvation. It's a prayer of salvation. Lord, save me today. And you know what I found? I'm learning that preemptive prayer is better than crisis prayer. In other words, if I pray this with all sincerity in the morning, that I might preempt something that's going to happen in my life. Just from the very fact that I rehearsed that prayer, God, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. That when that evil one comes and that temptation comes and that trial comes and that test comes, I've already rehearsed that prayer. It is in my memory to quicken me to the truths of it, and I already am delivered from it. I preempted it. Now, that doesn't mean that the test, I haven't preempted the test, but I've preempted any opportunity for the enemy to come in and distract me and get me away from the leading of God. That's why it's so valuable to pray every day. First thing in the morning, where do we start? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Remember what I said 2 weeks ago? I said, that's number one. All the other five petitions come under. When you have put God in his right place, hallowed, holy, sanctified, none can stand beside you. Lord, you are holy. I want you holy in my life. First in my life. You start there. You know, I prayed that prayer for the last 2 weeks. That's all further I got, other than studying this. And we keep praying that way. I found he would deliver me. You know, Paul, he found himself wrestling with life. Romans chapter 7. In wrestling with life, I'll just paraphrase some of this. Here's what Paul said. He said, every time I desire to do good, I wind up doing evil. The good that I would do, I can't seem to do it. And the evil I don't want to do, I do it. He came to this conclusion, oh, wretched man I am. I'm helpless. I can't save myself. I can't get myself out of this situation. What shall I do? I thank God that through Jesus Christ, I am able to be delivered from the evil that is in my life. Paul understood that God can deliver us. And I know Jesus can deliver. There's a kind of a story. It's more than a story. It's just a reflection of history with the children of Israel. And it goes back to the book of Exodus where the children of Israel were coming out of Egypt. Now remember, they were in bondage for 430 years in Egypt, and now God sent a deliverer and was delivering them out. And when they were coming out, they were coming out with a promise that they were going for the promised land, a land that was given to their fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They dreamed of it. They prayed about it. They cried out. God heard their cry and sent Moses. When they came out, they could have gone directly to the promised land, which would have been a three-day journey up the Mediterranean Sea coast, right into the land. 3 days they could have been there. But God didn't take them that way. And the reason was is that the Philistines were in that particular area. That area today is Gaza. The same warring enemy is working in Gaza as it was 3,000 years ago. So instead of taking them that way, because the enemy, God knew, they didn't really know. God knew that they were warriors, they were trained soldiers, and his children were slaves. They didn't have the practice of war in them. So God led them another way, which was a longer way. A couple of things. You see, God doesn't always lead you the short way. Matter of fact, you know what I've learned? I think he's always taken me a longer way. But there's reasons for it. There's reasons for it. I'm not ready mentally. I'm not ready emotionally. I'm not ready spiritually. I'm not ready physically to face it. If God doesn't take me the long way and I prefer the shorter way, that I might think it's a better way, but God sees the obstacles. He knows that I can't handle that, so he's going to take me a longer way because he knows better. Another reason is that he wants to show his power to the unbeliever. The Egyptians who were following them, because you see, the longer way took them to the Red Sea. The Red Sea had to be parted by a miracle of God. The miracle of God was to split the Red Sea, and then the Red Sea came back on the Egyptians. It showed the Egyptians, whether they accepted it or not, that there was a one true God, and he was the God of the Israelites. So by taking a longer way, there's a witness to the unbeliever around you when you hold strong to your faith. It also shows his power to you. Because if you didn't go the longer way, you wouldn't have seen the miracle. The miracles were in the longer way. The water that came from the rock was on the longer way. The bread that came down from heaven was on the longer way. The Ten Commandments were on the longer way. The Word of God, life came to them through the longer way. We think by going the longer way, we're dying. Come on. Lord, but yet it's the best way. Things are happening in our spirit that wouldn't have otherwise been done. There's no turning back now. The Red Sea closed. I'm out in the wilderness. And you know what I'm learning? That he had great plans and things to show me in the wilderness. God can provide in the wilderness. Even in the midst of the test, the trial, the storm, God is a provider. He's in control of it. He's working something in you. He will provide what you need. And the things that he provides are not always seen with the natural eye. But there's spiritual something that is happening. It is working in you, perfecting in you that fine gold. That faith is like fine gold. That when a real battle comes, and the real battle was coming to them when they were going to cross the Jordan again, they were ready for it. They knew the power of God. We're learning to trust his leading. We're learning to put him number one. Later on, God gives them a reason. He said, listen, I could drive out the enemy before you. I could just snap my fingers and all the enemies would be gone before you. He said, well, I'm not going to do that. He said, matter of fact, I'm not going to drive them out in 1 year. Little by little, I'm going to drive them out before thee until you be increased so that you can inherit the land. God has something greater for you. God has a mate for you that's the best mate if you'll wait. If you wait. It might be the longer way, but it's the way of God. God has a breakthrough for you on the job, but maybe there's some things you need to learn in your spirit that's going to help you as you get that increase in your life. The longer way, I have found sometimes, is the best way. But the best way is to be led by God. There's the key, being led by God. Would you stand with me, please?
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.